I wanted to share a brief challenge tonight. We're not having a Sunday night service, and so normally on Sunday nights, I've been doing the series that we've been preaching from the book of Nehemiah about managing risks in dangerous times. And just recently, I was reading the history of the American Baptist Mission Society that was founded in 1814 by Adoniram Judson. It's been in existence now for over 200 years, 206 years to be exact. And they have a crest that was initiated sometime right before the Civil War, and it stunned me. Now, perhaps I've seen it before and it just never really spoke to me, but this particular crest that's up there, I don't know if you can make it out, but it's an altar with the smoke rising. There is an ox. And there is a plow. And notice what the words say above it. Ready for either. Ready for either. And I was doing some reading in 2 Timothy. If you'll just turn there very quickly. In regard to our studies in the book of Philippians and Paul's willingness to be offered up and to be used of God in whatever way God saw fit regarding his life, whether he should live or whether he should die. He was ready for either. And I'm going to bring out more about this on Sunday morning in our study in Philippians chapter 1. But I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 for just a moment. I want to begin reading at verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead. Now stop for just a moment. Right? He was alive, he went to the cross, and he died and was resurrected. Right? Living, dead, buried, raised again. Now what you have right there is the heart of the gospel. That's the heart of the gospel. That he went to the cross, that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4 says that's the gospel, that's the good news. Here is one who is not like others. When human beings die, they go into the ground and that's where they stay. But Jesus Christ, the God-man, went to the cross to atone for our sins, died, gave up the ghost willingly, we're told in the Scriptures, was buried, and he rose again the third day. Why? In victory over sin, death, and hell for lost sinners. So he suffered much that he might atone for our sin, that you and I might have life like his resurrected life. Now that's the point that Paul is making here, and then he says this, wherein I suffer trouble. Now get that for just a moment. Because he bore the message of the gospel, that good news of Jesus Christ, he suffered trouble. Now, if you want to know what the Christian life is about, you got to pay attention. Paul didn't say it was just, you know, grand and glorious all the time. He suffered for the cause of Christ as an evildoer. Now, you want to know a wake-up call for the 21st century church? You and I are called upon to suffer for Jesus Christ as an evildoer. And what had he done? He had delivered the gospel. What has become evil to the far left today? The truth that man is a sinner and that God has listed things, certain things, as an abomination. And they despise that, they hate that, they want nothing to do with it. So Christians are often the targets. If you go to persecution.org and you see their latest video about the persecution that's taking place in China, a persecution that's taking place in several areas, in Central Europe right now, and in Central Asia, there is persecution going on of believers in Christ. And what is their crime? They're Christians. That's it. They believe in Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. They threw him in jail. He's in prison because he preached Jesus Christ. But the Word of God is not bound. Now let that just ring in your ears. They can put me in jail, but they can't put God's Word in jail. Amen? They can try. You know, people have said in recent time, what happens if they shut down the internet and they block Christians from doing it? Paul faced that, and he said, the Word is not bound. The Word can go forth in spite of what people might do. That's the glorious truth. And so he ends it in verse 10 by saying, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes. Very interesting. Dr. Watt pointed this out when he did his study relative to election. You'll notice that's in the plural. Did you see that? It's in the plural. A group of the redeemed. All right? Those that have been chosen of God, this group. He says, I endure all things for this group's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. What a reminder that you and I need to be ready for either. Ready for either. There's the altar or there's the plow. Whatever God chooses to do with me. And Paul said that. He says that in Philippians chapter 1. I'm ready to be offered. It's for your sakes I desire to be here to help, but if God chooses to take me on, so be it. For me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain. You know, I thought about this in regard to this crest that's been on the American Baptist Foreign Mission Society. I said, I wonder how many mission boards feel that way today. Wonder how many. Oftentimes, it's all about, we got to get them off the field. We got to get them off the field because there's pressure and so forth. What about ready to do either? We've kind of lost that today, haven't we? It's all about rescue, 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 rather than what about being used of God? Ready for either. Ready for either. Either the altar to be offered, or the plow to serve. So, I say this because this points exactly to what I'm talking about in this passage in Nehemiah chapter 4, Nehemiah chapter 5, is that this crest implies what? Risk. Are you listening to me? Ministry for Christ implies, by its very nature, it implies risk. Risk of being misunderstood. Risk of being put in jail. Risk of being told you're doing the wrong thing. What are you people doing? How dare you say and preach what the Bible says? Risk. Risk. Ready for either. So we have to understand that. That in reality, it's not a choice about safety. It's a choice about what God wants me to do for Him. That's what it's all about. If He wishes for me to die, or if He wishes for me to be imprisoned, or if He wishes for me just to serve Him my full life without ever having to experience that, I don't know. But I have to be ready for either. And so many times we're surprised by that. We're surprised that God would have us to do that. God would have us to go through something like that. Very well could be. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. You know, when I was growing up, that book was talked about a lot. I remember Mrs. Winsett in youth group. We had a younger youth group. We had an older youth group. She read Christian biographies to us. But she also read Fox's Book of Martyrs. And I just listened to that and all those people and the horrible things that happened to them. Now today we say, oh, don't read that to the children. You'll scare them. You know what it did for me? It helped me to understand what it costs to serve God. I remember it to this day. I was in fourth grade, fifth grade, somewhere around in there, whenever she read that book, and it woke me up that serving the Lord has costs involved. He that buildeth a house must do what? Consider the costs. So if God was calling me to preach, which He did at age 15, God was working in my heart. Couldn't get away from it. God wanted me to preach His Word. I had to consider the cost. What's that going to involve? What's that mean? A lot of people say, well, being a preacher is an easy thing. I had an evangelist said, well, you preachers, you've got a set income. Us missionaries and evangelists, we have to trust the Lord. I said, I want to tell you something. Would you like to come? See what is all involved with it? Praying for folks, ministering to folks, hearing folks' deepest concerns, keeping it to myself and praying before God. There's a lot of burdens that are carried by a pastor and a preacher. And you have to be trusted that you're not going to be out blabbing it all over the place, but that you're going to take their concern to the Lord with them and be an intercessor, a go-between. Oh, how important that we consider, am I ready for either? It's easy to say, oh yeah, I'm ready. I've got it. Really? What happens whenever they show up and they want to shut us down because we're going against the narrative that's out there today? You can't operate your Christian school unless you accept thus. Well, we just have to close the doors then. But we're going to be faithful, and we're going to still take care of our kids. It may mean that we have to go against the flow, but you know what? When authority over us goes beyond the bounds that God has established, then we have to stand with God. We have to stand with God. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, but we forget the last half of it, which is what? But render unto God the things that are God's. And so these are all things that we have to consider. Very quickly, turn back with me to Nehemiah chapter 4. We're going to be stopping here in about 5 minutes. I know you don't believe me, but it's true. And we're going to go to prayer earlier tonight. Nehemiah chapter 4. And we're continuing in this realm of study. And we're going to look at chapter 4 and a few verses in chapter 5 here. The second risk that you and I face as believers, the risk of alarm. You know, there's just something about a fire alarm when it goes off. When I grew up, my dad worked for Skyline, the volunteer fire department. And we would go up there with him to check the oil and the fuel and the pumps on that truck. That was the most fun to me, getting to climb all over that night. Was it 1937? 1940 Chevy. Ford with a Chevy engine in it. All right, I remember that. No, I had to get it. Thank you. The Fords were so undependable, I had to put a Chevy engine in it. But anyway, I remember Dad pulling that. He would pull that truck out, and then he would hit the siren. That thing would go off, scare the living mud out of me. But then we would be listening. And how many remember the Skyline alarm that would go off to alert all the volunteers that were in this area? We got a fire. They set off the alarm. Boy, as a kid, I wonder whose house is burning down. I wonder if there's a forest fire. You just didn't know. Dad would get on his, he'd just take off running to his old green truck that he had. He'd take off to Skyline. We got to go one time on a brush fire. Dad said, stay in the truck. We about choked to death on the smoke. Said, Dad, come and get out, Dad! He was out there. They were putting out the fire. They had the pumper truck out there. And it was so neat, you know, because we were imagining that we were volunteer firemen from inside the truck as we were choking on the smoke. But we were there. We were part of it. All right? Now, let me just say something here. Alarms can be frightening. We have three alarms that are given to us in this passage of Scripture. Look at verse 10 very quickly of chapter 4. And Judah said, what did Judah have to say? The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Oh, we've got two insurmountable odds right here. We have got people that are decaying. It's interesting what word they chose there. They're literally rotting. Now that's a good word to use about your fellow worker. Our fellow workers are rotten. They don't have the strength to be able to do it. They're just mush. And I want to tell you, number two, there's just too much rubbish. Too much rubbish. I remember in 1987, when Roger and I got the call, at that time we were living at home, we got the call, the daycare center out back here was on fire. Mrs. Holly called us, and so Roger and I got in our vehicles. We got up here just as quick as we could, and it was horrible. I will never forget standing out there watching the whole building go up in smoke, seeing Miss Ransom's piano studio and the pianos that were in there just going up in flames. And then the next morning going out there knowing that we were the ones going to have to clean it all up after the fire investigators were done with all their stuff. And I remember it took us weeks. We dug, a big old trench was dug out here, and most of the building was pushed down into the deep hole and covered all up. We've had a few things that are starting to work their way up out there. We've had to pull a few concrete blocks out and things of that nature that's worked its way up. But I looked at that pile and I said, how are we going to get this done? I was teaching all day. So I was working on it after work, trying to clear it up so that the kids wouldn't be around dangerous stuff that were out behind the back of the building. And Roger was working full-time on getting that cleaned up. It was a mess. And I know how they felt when they said that. We've got a lot of rubbish here. But you know what? We got it cleaned up. We had three fires within a month on this campus. Our horse stables in the back, which used to be back there, got destroyed. We had a trailer over here that got burned down to the frame. We had some people that hated our ministry greatly. And it just seemed like, you know, what are we going to do? The men in the church were taking turns being up here on campus because we were afraid it was going to be one of our main buildings go. Mike Donahoe and I sat up on top of the field house all night long. Up there, I had Dr. Hobbs' duck gun. Whenever I stood it up there, it was taller than I was. And I drug that thing upstairs. I poked it up through the hole, got up there. We were sitting in chairs. And I heard the most ungodly sounds all night long. I heard that two or three times. I said, Mike, what was that? He said, I don't know. I said, Mike, you're older now. You've got to know what that was. We heard all kinds of noises. He said, let's climb down and walk around. I said, let's not. You know? So we spent the night all night long on top of the roof. I ran and got a shower and went on to class the next day. I know what it's like to be tired and overwhelmed, and I know you do too. We all have to. But you know what happened? They made that into an excuse. You can make an excuse about anything when you don't want to do something. And that's what happened to these folks. They got alarmed. There's too much work and we're too tired. That was the first alarm. The second alarm is in verse 11. The threat of the enemy is just too great. We can't overcome them. We had the old argument of the giants in the land, basically. Remember that? During the time of the spies? Oh yeah, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, but there are giants in the land. They're way bigger than we are. Kind of like Santa Rosa Christian playing other schools in basketball. They're way bigger than we are. We had some good memories from back in those 70s. The football team. Bill Farrington was on the football team, and he's still alive. I don't know how that happened. Not, we used to have a two-story structure. I don't know if you call it a building or what. But it had a long ladder all the way up the top, and I'd see Dr. Hobbs up there, and they were filming our football team. We didn't have enough footage for what we needed because we didn't have anybody that was over. I think Jeff Ramsey was the biggest guy, and he was the only one. He played on both sides of the ball because we didn't have anybody else. And we had little bitty running backs. And, I mean, it was. Dr. Hobbs said, I went up there on top of that. Everybody thought I was taking footage, but I was on my knees praying that nobody would be killed during the game. Alarm! Fearful! Enemy's too great! Let's quit. Right? Isn't that what we do? The alarm, the risk of alarm. There are always going to be risks, folks. There are always going to be risks. What do we need to do? Trust the Lord. Rely, rest in Him.